right, folks. Welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is...
Matty Juice. What's going on, everybody? Good to have you back for another episode where we're going to talk about indie games, indie game news, and everything in between.
You got that right. You got that right. We got a great episode for you all this week. We are talking about a game that we played the prologue, or did I just play the prologue? I forget.
No, we both did.
We both did. We played the prologue for this game called Hollow Survivors, which we were pretty hype on for the prologue. Let's see if they kind of stick the landing here with, is it early access or is it 1.0? I guess it might be 1.0.
I believe it is 1.0.
Wow. It's funny that you have to ask, right?
Yeah.
Because so many games come out in early access first, but not Hollow Survivors. It is a game that is out in 1.0. We'll be talking about it. Does it stick the landing here from its time as a prologue, demo, etc.? It's kind of two games that we had like that so far. Did we do another prologue game?
I think there was one. Obviously, we've done Goons. Didn't really have a prologue, had a demo.
Demos, we played PAX,
and then we played 1.0. I don't know. There probably was another one in there that we did a prologue for, then played the full game. Can't remember what it is, though.
Yeah, me neither. But, hey, listen, we've done a lot of episodes at this point. 83 episodes, and we're not stopping anytime soon. We're going to be climbing up on 100 episodes soon, which is pretty wild to think about. And I'm excited. That'll be the third podcast I've done 100 episodes of. You know, listen, if there's anything, I am persistent. But, hey, listen, we got a great show for you all. We're going to catch up first. How you been? How was your weekend? What's new?
Yeah, doing good. Clearing up some space at the house for the baby and all that sort of stuff. So we got to get ready to paint. Got to get ready to get new flooring. Hopefully, we're planning to, get some new flooring in her room, which is across from this room. So I'm hoping I want to get new floors in here. I want to get rid of this carpet. So this might look a little different in future episodes. Ooh. Got a lot of junk behind me from that other room. So hopefully get that cleaned up and kind of paint this room too at some point. But so kind of started that whole process. Honestly, just like been putting it off because it's just like when the weekend hits, I'm just like exhausted and we're just like, I mean, obviously like Maria's not doing a crazy amount because she's pregnant and I don't want her to. So I'm like, this past weekend, I'm like, let's put it on the calendar. This is what we're going to do. We're going to clean out this room. And then next weekend, we're going to paint. So getting all that adulting done. Went on a date Friday night with Maria, obviously.
Yeah,
with no one else. Little date night. And we went to this place called Tio, which we've never been to before, but we've always passed it. There's a few of them, I think, in Jersey. It's like a taco tequila bar kind of thing. And we're always like, we want to try that out. You know, we like going to like Mexican places. So went there and, you know, honestly, okay. First impressions was like this place. I thought it was going to be like a little, not fancy, but like just like a certain level of like cleanliness. And it like kind of wasn't, but then I wasn't really worried because I'm like, all right, usually like the hole in the wall Mexican places are like amazing. Right.
Yeah.
So like, We have one right near us that we love to go to, and it's like, you know, not like they're for a while there, their entryway smelled like body odor. It was just terrible. They had to remove the door because it just smelled so bad and it was getting all trapped in there. Anyway, but a great place. So we go to Tio, and as we're sitting there, like a spider just comes down from like the web right nearby. And I was like, oh shit. And like, We like put it outside or whatever. So that was fine. But I was like, first impressions, I'm not like wowed at the moment. Then we got the food. I got actually one of their specials was a birria grilled cheese, which I was like, you know, I mean, it's not really Mexican, but like it sounded pretty good. And I got it. It was delicious. But I got to tell you, Maria also dealt with this too for the next few days. But like my stomach was like flipping for like a few days after that, and like I know it had cheese in there or whatever, and I'm not good with cheese, but like this was like not normal. Usually that stuff goes away. So you know, I've been ripping some mean ones, I'll say. Since today's the first day where I'm kind of feeling like 100%, like my stomach isn't bothering me, which is good. So we probably won't go back, unfortunately, even though the food did taste good. So little journey there, made it for a little bit of an eventful weekend. Also took a nap on Sunday.
Whoa.
I don't take naps. I'm not a nap guy. And I was in the bed with Pluto, and we just both fell asleep for like 2 hours. And I woke up. It was one of those naps where you wake up and you didn't realize you fell asleep. It's like the best type of nap. Just like that natural nap. So that was good. Got a little bit of my sleep back there. And so not really a crazy weekend overall, but a few things here and there. But I've heard you've had a pretty good weekend, Tommy.
I did. Yeah. Not as low key as that. Now, I will say, in the TO topic, now I believe, and people can fact check me, but I'm almost positive I'm correct. TO is a chain owned by another chain in New Jersey, Tommy's Tap and Tavern.
Really? Okay.
I believe so. Now, that Tommy's
would make sense.
Used to be pretty great. Like, people loved Tommy's, but like then they opened like a billion of them all within New Jersey. It's like every town had a Tommy's Tap and Tavern, and it really took a nosedive, I thought, in quality. It's like fine, like in a pinch. Like, I think we went to the one after we got the tuxes. And like, it's whatever, it's like quick bar food, but I think the quality is just not really there. And like TO, from my understanding, is not really like authentic, and it's probably like a ton of grease, and that's probably what you were feeling rather than the dairy. Yeah. But you know,
yeah,
let bygones be bygones. Go back to the hole in the wall Mexican joint and you're going to be happy as can be. But yeah, I went to South Carolina, Charleston, Chucktown, for a music festival, High Water. The wife and I saw that our favorite band, Lord Huron, was playing. They were headlining, and then my favorite band, Trampled by Turtles, was also playing. It was a good time. You know, got to see Charleston the day that we got there, which is like a nice, old, historic city. Very cool to walk around. We did a lot of walking. And then the festival itself was good. It was, just saw some good music acts, some people that we hadn't seen, hadn't heard of, and then some people that we had seen. Obviously, our favorite bands did great. We love them. That's why we continue to go see them. But there's one band I want to talk about, and it's talking to, like, my wife and I were talking about it the whole weekend, is that, like, we like some of their music. Like I have a decent amount of their songs on my Spotify. And they're really, really getting big right now, especially in the Philly area where they're from. It's Mount Joy. Now, okay, yeah. I don't know how to frame them. They're either the best bad band you can see, but I actually think they're the worst good band, maybe. Because there's this thing, like, they have, like, these really great songs that, you know, you really like, but the live performance is just, to me, just always so lackluster. And I think it really boils down to, I think as musicians, they're not tight, right? Like, you go to see a good band, you could feel how tight they are. And that's a wild sentence, you know, musically.
When you're banging a guy. Charles Barkley reference. Charles, don't know.
So, like, there's something about Mount Joy that just really doesn't hit the way you want it to when you see them live. So that was kind of interesting. Counting Crows played. I'd never seen them live. That guy still has some pipes. He's a really good singer. And you always forget how many good songs the Counting Crows have.
Yeah.
And that was a fun time. And yeah, it was a good weekend. You know, done with planes for now. Every single time you fly back into Newark, you can make all the jokes in the world about how shitty Newark is as like an airport and like a area, but the worst part about flying into Newark is the descent into Newark, because it, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's the headwinds from the Hudson or whatever, I think I talked about it last time, it's always bumpy on the way down for no reason, and you're just like sitting in the Oh my God, could we just land? And
just praying.
Yeah, you're praying, you're like sweating, and your stomach feels like crap. It's just the worst, but it's like the most convenient airport for us. So it just is what it is. But hey, got to play the game for the week on the plane again, Steam Deck. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, definitely have a lot of thoughts on the game, and I'm excited to talk about them. But first, we have news. We have a Discord, folks. Check it out. It's in the show notes. Join it. Go in. Say hi. Be respectful. Be nice. Hang out. We're all friends here, and we'll juice it up in there. But other than that, kind of a slow news week, right?
Yeah, I didn't really find too much other than the fact that your two favorite co-hosts have successfully pre-ordered the Switch 2. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Tommy Fresh and Matty Juice, we did it. We did it. The U.S. pre-orders came out, and hopefully it doesn't get canceled, because I've seen that's been happening to people.
I hope not as well.
You did through GameStop, right?
I did it through GameStop. I did get the confirmation. So it should be interesting. Now, I don't know if this is indie really related, but there is a game that is currently giving blueprints for a run for its money for Game of the Year. And funny enough, it's on the Epic Games Store, and it also has 33 in the name, and it's not 33 Immortals. It is Clair Obscur Expedition 33, a turn-based RPG kind of exploration game, I guess, like narrative-focused. Would you consider this indie? I know that a lot of these devs came from Ubisoft.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would, because I know, like, the publisher is, they're Kepler Interactive. They've published, like, Bionic Bay was another game I was looking at. Pacific Drive, I know, is, like, I'm pretty sure that's a indie game. I know I should probably know that. But they definitely publish, indie titles before. I just haven't played Pacific Drive, unfortunately, but I know people love it. But, yeah, I would say this is an indie game. At the end of the day, I know it's like these days it can be pretty blurred, especially when a game's getting so much attention. You're like,
it's not quite AAA, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Basically, that's the defining characteristic, right? Is like, well, it's not AAA, so it's indie, right?
Yeah,
so, but yeah, I've seen so much, so many people talking about this game. I've watched some gameplay for it. It looks really cool. I really like how they've kind of taken like the turn-based side of things and really just made it more interesting. They're almost like these quick time events that you do versus like it being like, you know, you have I don't know, it's kind of like mid combat decisions that you're making, it seems like, with a lot of these things, which is really exciting. You know, it's, I always think of like Pokemon as like turn based, right?
And yeah,
like that's very slow. But this one, I don't know, I guess they're trying to change up the formula a little bit. I'm still on the fence of whether I would try it or not, just because I'm usually not into turn-based stuff, but I've heard a lot of people say, like, ignore that feeling, like, you should try this game out. But, yeah, and I think also, like, the story for the game is kind of interesting, where there's, like, this oracle or, like, this person that every year they, like, write down a number. I might be getting this wrong, but they write down a number, and whoever is that age is like wiped out. So 33 is like the number that is written down. And so they're trying to basically, I guess, stop that from happening for all the 33-year-olds out there. But yeah, I don't know. It seems like an interesting game for sure. And it's going to be, I would be surprised if this wasn't nominated for Game of the Year. I would be a little bit more surprised if Blueprints was nominated, because I feel like this is getting more like almost like AAA level coverage versus like Blueprints. So yeah, it's an interesting one for sure, and continues to be a pretty strong year, I'd say, for games in general. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll see. It is a game that I would probably check out, I think, because I like turn-based stuff, and from what I saw, it definitely has a really interesting take on it, and it looks beautiful too. Blueprints, really is, I mean, like, I think we made a passing joke about it in a previous episode. They're going to need to, like, release mobile blueprints or something big halfway through the year to kind of reignite the hype on that game for the Game of the Year awards. But, yeah, Clair Obscur looks pretty awesome. But, funny enough, turn-based games. I saw somebody make a point about this, I think, on TikTok. Other than, like, the obvious ones, like Final Fantasy, Pokemon, maybe a couple other games that are known for being turn-based and that are really huge franchises, what would you say the one of the most surprisingly best-selling franchises of a turn-based game is?
Is it? Do you know the answer to this? Are you quizzing me?
I know the answer. I know, well, the point that this video had made. It sold, the franchise itself has sold, let me get the actual number here. Since the first entry of the game, it sold 130 million copies throughout its franchise history.
And it's a, is it a game that would be, I'd be like, I'm thinking like Baldur's Gate. I don't know, because they just had a big one. No.
No, they have a lot of entries into this, into their franchise. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, like a lot. I mean, that definitely helps their numbers. You've definitely played these games.
It's not Final Fantasy, you said. I definitely played these games. It's not Pokemon.
Pokemon has more. Pokemon's in like the, I have the list up here.
Yeah.
Pokemon has 480 million.
Is it on a specific platform? It's on like everything.
All platforms.
Oh, man. Okay. I don't know. Tell me. I can't think of it.
Madden.
Madden. Oh, my God. Because that is turn-based.
Right? Yeah. it's technically a turn-based game. I really love that that kind of, that point that whatever TikTok. Shout out that TikTok. I'm sure if you listen to this podcast out loud, your phone will hear it and it'll feed you that TikTok. But yeah, Madden as a turn-based game makes sense. And I was like, that is so true. It's not like it's not like a NBA Jam or something like that, where that, you know, games like FIFA, NBA, that's more like RTS, right? where football, American football, is a turn-based strategy game. Which is kind of fun. So, just wanted to throw that little nugget out there.
I love it.
See how you tasted it and how you liked it. So, I'm glad you did. Now, speaking of tasting and loving, or maybe not loving, we have some juice, and we're going to tell you if it's worth the squeeze or not. It is Hollow Survivors, developed by Danny Deer. Shout out Danny Deer. Published by Playway and Game Perrick. I think that's how you pronounce it. It is on Steam. It's $9.99. Not sure if it's on sale right now. I don't think it is. But the short pitch, it is battling through hordes of horrific creatures as you hack and slash your way to the top of the tower in this roguelike dungeon crawler game. Choose from a variety of upgrades and weapons and save the tower. Holy smokes, sounds like a lot of different roguelikes. It's like, is this Slay the Spire? Is this something else? We have to get to the top of something. Now, you go into this game and you see the survivors, and the first thing I thought was like, is this going to be just another survivors, like another Vampire Survivors like? And it definitely has those elements, but not as much as you think. There are only a little bit of sprinklings of what that kind of genre is in this game. Now, you hop in, you're this character named Hollow, and you are trying to get to the top of the tower. You have this kind of base area, like you do in most roguelites, where you have shops and different kind of upgrades, whether it's upgrading your weapon or your spell or whatever. You can do that there and kind of have this meta progression. So you hop in, and the controls are pretty easy. You move around your left stick, and then you have your regular attack, and then you have a spell that generates as well. Now, the rooms don't end